Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 48th chapter, and I will direct your attention to the 20th verse. And this is how the word of God does read. Thus it came about on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hands. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. This morning, I'm going to take these few verses here to teach on the topic, when life gives you a lemon. Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee for one more opportunity, Lord, to make thy word known. Father, may thou not cleanse this man, but Lord God, may thou renew me, that I will make that oracle known to thy people. Bless, O Father, the declaration of thy word as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Life, as the saying goes, is full of surprises. And if you have lived long enough, there is no doubt that you would have realized the validity of that saying. Here you are starting your day, your plan all laid out. You get on the road, then abruptly someone runs into the back of your car and you end up at a hospital, what you never planned for. Yes, life surprises have a way of redirecting the course of our lives, sometimes in the negative direction, other times in the positive direction. But there is another flip side to life. Life is also full of unrealized expectations, or what we call disappointments. Here you are waiting expectantly for something to happen, and you wait, and you wait, and at the end of the day, disappointment becomes your companion. Or perhaps a promise was made to you, a covenant relationship where a spouse makes a promise to you. Then, at the end of the day, there is failure, and there comes betrayal and disappointment. It is usually at this point that our mental stressors are triggered, which often opens the door to despair, to depression, to hopelessness. And sometimes you see people with suicidal thoughts. You know, someone put it well. That person said, broken promises are like broken mirrors. They leave those who hold on to them bleeding and staring at the fractured images of themselves in the broken mirror. Well, this morning, if there is any kind of silver lining here, it is this. Instances of unrealized expectation or disappointment is not exclusive to you and I in this contemporary world. Sprinkled throughout the pages of sacred scriptures are stories of unrealized expectation. And one of those stories can be found in the book of Genesis, in the story of a young man named Joseph. This morning from the story, I believe that we can extract some biblical principles that can help us weather the storms of disappointment. That when life does give you lemon, that you can be able to make yourself a lemonade. This is how the story of Joseph goes. Let's put it in context. You know, Joseph was the favorite son of his father, Jacob. And Jacob did not hide his affection for Joseph. He made it obvious to everyone by giving Joseph what the King James called a coat of many colors, or a varied colored tunic, to signify his unique distinction. Apart from this, Joseph himself, as the Hebrew will put it, was a dreamer of dreams. And now it's something to be a dreamer. It's another thing to go on the housetop and begin to proclaim all your dreams. And this was what Joseph did. Instead of keeping his dreams to himself, he flaunted it to his brothers and to his father. This unhealthy family dynamics did not sit well with Joseph's brothers, resulting in bitter jealousy. And this bitter jealousy later mushroomed into a sinister plot where Joseph, on checking on his brother in a place called Dothan, was kidnapped by his brothers and later sold to the Ishmaelites, who in turn brought Joseph to Egypt and sold him at a slave market to the captain of the bodyguards of Pharaoh, a man named Potiphar. By the way, parents, you need to pause for a minute to make this observation to you. When you make distinctions between your children, you are setting in motion an unhealthy family dynamics that is bound to ignite sibling rivalry. Someone hear me this morning. A rivalry that can impact generations to come. And I'm convinced that some sibling rivalries that we see today, the siblings cannot get along, can be traced back to the damage that has been caused by the parents. Here is my counsel to you as a parent. No matter how you feel about your children, one can be an A student, the other a D student. Always, again, listen to me, always be impartial in your love towards them. You must strive to be impartial. You know, the A and the D means that their path in life might just be different. The way that God has wired them might just be different. And as a parent, rather than loving the one that is compliant and the one that is great and the one that is good, you must seek to strive constantly to be impartial in your love. When you do that, you are leaving a legacy of awesome oneness to your children, so that when you've passed through this world and you've gone to the other world, the union, the love, the cohesiveness will continue on from generation to generation. Let's return back to the story of Joseph here. So Joseph now sold in the slave market to the man called Potiphar. Now as a slave in the house of this man, Joseph actually excelled. Because as the narrative indicated, the Lord was with Joseph. Everything Joseph did, he prospered as a slave. On seeing this, Potiphar discerned that there is some contagious grace about this young man. And he elevated Joseph to a favorite position in his home, making Joseph overseer over his house and all that he only put under Joseph, except his wife. Now, this becomes interesting. This favorite position of Joseph again, drew attention of Mrs. Potiphar. And she asked him to go to bed with her. Now, you got to understand here, Joseph was probably around 20 to 21 years old. At that age, that temptation must have been very, very heavy. But Joseph stood upon the word of God. He understood that violating the covenant between a man and a wife is a sin against God. And Joseph rejected the advances several times of Mrs. Potiphar. And one day, Mrs. Potiphar decided to take matters into her own hands. And she called David, she called Joseph in the house and seek to kind of force him into the situation. And Joseph ran out and left behind his garment. Then Mrs. Potiphar, infuriated, accused Joseph of attempted rape. And on hearing this, Potiphar, which I believe every husband will do, got so upset with Joseph, took Joseph, put him in the king's prison where Pharaoh put his prisoners. So from being a slave, Joseph became a prisoner. Again, in the prison, the kindness of the Lord was extended to Joseph this time. And the chief jailer, again, saw something unique about this young man called Joseph. And he elevated Joseph again to a favorite position, making him the overseer of all the prisoners who were in the jail. And in the course of time, two persons from the palace of Pharaoh were placed in the same jail, the cupbearer and the chief baker. Now, in the ancient Eastern culture, the cupbearer was a very vital position to the king because he got to taste and eat whatever the king is about to taste to eat and know whether it's poisoned or not. So for the cupbearer and the baker to be incarcerated here, it must have been a very huge offense, which, by the way, we were not told in the Bible. And this was the situation. They were placed in prison, and Joseph actually was given charge over them. Joseph was told to take care and to watch over them. Then one night, both the cupbearer and the baker had a dream that terrified them. And they got up in the morning, obviously dejected. And when Joseph presumably made his rounds, he came to them in the morning and observed that they were dejected. And he asked them, "Why are you sad?" And they told him that they both had a dream and there was no one to interpret it. Now, you know, Joseph, being a dreamer of dreams himself, said to them, "Tell me your dream, because all answers, interpretation comes from God." And they did tell Joseph their dreams. And according to the interpretation Joseph gave to the cupbearer, in 3 days, he would be restored back to his position. To the chief baker, in 3 days, he would be executed. Then Joseph took the opportunity at that moment to appeal to the cupbearer. He said, "Only keep me in mind when it's gone well with you. And please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house, for I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing that it should put me into this dungeon." Genesis chapter 40, verse 14 through 15. So let's fast forward here. In 3 days, Joseph's interpretation came to fruition. And in 3 days, according to his interpretation, the chief baker was in fact executed. But the cupbearer, as David, as Joseph had said, the cupbearer was restored back to his position. Now, I need to pause here to kind of use my creative license here. And I truly believe that the moment Joseph heard that the cupbearer has been restored to his position, Joseph must have been rejoicing and thanking God in his cell. He must have been thanking God because he would have said to himself, finally, there is someone out there who would be the voice for me, someone that will go appeal my case, someone that will put my case before Pharaoh. And his expectation must have been very, very high. Every footstep he must have heard around his cell room must have caused his heart to beat faster, because in his mind, he will have anticipated that someone was coming to get me out of here because the cupbearer have made his case for me. But moments turned to minutes, minutes to hours, hours to days, days to weeks, weeks to months, months to years. Joseph's hope of a speedy release from prison has been dashed because the cupbearer had forgotten Joseph. Now, while the Bible does not say this, I believe Joseph, like any one of us, must have been disappointed. Joseph must have felt depressed and despondent. And this must have been the state of mind of Joseph. But here is the key this morning. What spiritual principle then can we extract from this pericope about unrealized expectation and can help each one of us weather the storms of disappointment? What kind of spiritual principles can we glean from this? You want to take notes here this morning, loved ones. The first spiritual principle I want you to write down is this. Unrealized expectation is life's way of reminding us of human inadequacy. Again, I want you to write this down. Unrealized expectation is life's way of reminding us of human inadequacy. Just in case nobody told you this, let me tell you. Every man, every person at his best is just a man. Again, listen to what I just said. Every man at his best is just a mere man. We are finite beings. We are limited beings. We are fallible beings. But many tend to forget this very simple, obvious truth. And we tend to place our hope in man. We look to man to make us fulfilled. We look to man to make us successful. We look to man to make us happy. But then comes disappointment, broken promises, and failures. What we are being reminded of during those seasons is human inadequacy. No man can make you fulfilled, truly fulfilled. No man can make you truly satisfied. No man can make you truly successful. No man can make you truly happy. Those are God's jurisdictions. It is only God who can make you happy. Only God who can make you successful. Only God who can make you fulfilled. Instead of placing your hope in man, we must have to place our hope in God. In this story, Joseph look to the cupbearer to facilitate his release from prison. In essence, he placed his hope on a man. Cupbearer, you please help me out here. My hope is in you. But in the failure to even remember Joseph, it's a reminder to Joseph of human inadequacy. When the cupbearer forgot him, and this morning I tender to you, no matter how much you look at a man and put your hope in him, man will fail you. Man will disappoint you. Man will do what man does. They will take care of number one, that's themselves. And for those of you who are placing your hope in your husband, your hope in your wife, your hope in your bosses, or your hope in your own ability, you are in for a rude awakening. Never place your hope in people. Place your hope in God. Oh, yes, build trust, but place your hope solely in God. Second spiritual principle here that we can glean from this pericope is this. When it comes to unrealized expectation, unrealized disappointment, learning to accept what you cannot change is the key to your sanity. Again, I want you to watch what I just said. Learning to accept what you cannot change is the key to your sanity. Now, though scripture does not say this, but as I alluded to earlier, I believe that after this obvious disappointment, Joseph must have felt depressed. He must have felt despondent. He must have felt betrayed. Here was a man that he gave a favorable interpretation, and he forgot him. But I believe that Joseph did not wallow in his own sense of woe is me. Because based on Joseph's previous disposition, we see that whenever he finds himself in a situation that was unfavorable, that felt that could be depressing, Joseph always made the best of that situation. As a slave, he became good. He became successful and made the best of it. As a prisoner, he made the best of that situation. And I truly believe, even with this disappointment, that Joseph will have just accepted the things he cannot change. And Joseph will have moved on. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning. When disappointment enters your experience, we know it always triggers all these mental stresses. Depression, anxiety, fear, all manner of mental struggle. But in order to maintain your sanity, you have to learn to accept the things you cannot change. Pastor Wally, listen, yes, it is difficult, but you have to learn. You have to buffet your body to accept the things that you cannot change. Trying to understand why someone did what they did will drive you insane. Again, understand what I just said. Trying to understand why someone did what they did will drive you insane. Trying to understand why your husband violated his covenant and cheated and committed infidelity will drive you nuts. Accept the fact that they did what they did, and guess what? Walk on moving on. Accept the fact that the position you applied for did not work in your favor, and keep going on. Accept the fact that the business venture you put your money in that you thought was going to go forth failed. Accept that fact and go on. The unwillingness to accept what you cannot change, I tender to you, would not only drive you insane, but it can also send you to an early grave. And for many that have struggled and have not been able to accept what they cannot change, That has been some of their outcome. And I pray to God this morning, that won't be your outcome. The third thing here I want you to glean from the story's biblical principle is this. Expectation delayed is not always expectation denied. Can I get an amen? You know, for 2 years, Joseph languished in prison, forgotten by the cupbearer. But you know what? He was not forgotten by God. And one night, Pharaoh himself had a dream that troubled him. And he sent for all the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men. And there was no one that was found that could interpret that dream. Then the cupbearer remembered Joseph and told Pharaoh about Joseph. And Pharaoh ordered them to go bring Joseph out of the prison. Now, I want you to pause for a minute right here. This is my creative license. Now, I want you to picture Joseph in the prison, unbeknownst to him, what was taking place in the palace. Here comes the guards. For 2 years, he's been waiting. For months, now here comes the guards. And they said, Joseph, Pharaoh needs to see you. Joseph was surprised by God's mercy. I like that. But here we go. Pharaoh told the dream to Joseph, and Joseph said to Pharaoh, interpretation all belongs to God. And Joseph went ahead to tell Pharaoh exactly what his dream was. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Not only did Joseph tell him the dream, he told him, he said, Pharaoh, you need to find a wise man. You need to find somebody. Who are you going to make overseer over this process so that they will save during the time of surplus and they will have enough during the time of famine? And Pharaoh said, who else is a wise man that can do that? But Joseph himself. Joseph the prisoner became Joseph the prime minister. Expectation delayed, but it was not denied. But this is an interesting thing. Not only was not expectation denied, God had a little blessing more to the expectation. God gave Joseph more than he bargained for. God not only set him free, God elevated him to the second in command in Egypt. God raised him up. God blessed him. God elevated him to the position of honor. And I believe the same is true for you and I, that at times delay does not always mean denial. Our unrealized expectation at times might actually be a blessing in disguise. The delay actually might be God setting you up for something bigger. Your unrealized expectation of your marriage, though you've been trying as much as you can to go to all this dating site and find a man and try to get yourself hooked up with somebody. But every time you try, he falls in your face because it doesn't work out. God might actually be preparing his own Prince Charming for you. That is why the delay is taking place. But at the fullness of time, God will show up. The job that the doors are shutting for promotion might be God even allowing that to happen because he has something better for you. And when that expectation might be delayed, God might now come through down the road to even elevate you higher, let you understand that in God nothing is impossible. I tender to you this morning, loved ones, expectation delayed is not always expectation denied. When it comes to God, no matter the disappointment of man, God is able to make all grace abound. God is able to replenish the year that the locusts have eaten. God is able to move in your situation in such a way that it will make it all new again. That is why, as a believer, no matter the disappointment of life, no matter how much you are being battered by life, keep holding on. Hold on to the hope that you have, the hope that God is on your side. And Paul said it well, if God be for us, who who can be against us? And I'm so glad this morning that yes, life will give you a lemon, but when it does, you sit back and make yourself a lemonade, because you know you are in the hands of him who has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you, even until the end of time. I tender to you this morning, disappointment, yes, there will come, but there is a God who sits high and will look low, who is able to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. And he said his rod and his staff will comfort you. And when you go through, he said, I will set a table ultimately before you in the presence of your enemies, and I will anoint your head with oil. That was the story of Joseph, that God set him up. He anointed his head, and his brothers that put him in that situation finally saw that goodness and mercy was around Joseph. I tender to you that the same will be for you. Just hold on to God's unchanging hands. No matter how bitter, no matter how disappointed you might feel, trust in the Lord, and God will come through the fullness of time. May God give each one of us the grace to hope in him, even in the disappointments of life. Our Father and our God, we now give thanks for this opportunity. May thou now glorify the holy name in the declaration of this word. Father, I commit to thee this morning the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.